celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plotto and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Grover joins us in the garden once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you. That was going to be my opening thing, is a big Happy New Year. I'd yell it, but I'd probably blow out my cheap mic. Actually, I'd probably blow out an expensive mic. But Happy New Year to everyone. I'm glad you survived at least this far into the Christmas season, and hopefully you'll survive at least a little bit into the new year.
That's all of our hopes. Better year than ever.
Yeah, I think we've all had a rough couple of years. Unfortunately, I think that chances are very high that the first half of the year is going to be rough on us. And I think a lot of us are feeling that. And we all know that things can be difficult, and they're going to be difficult for a while. However, a bright thing is most of our seeds are produced in the U.S., and chances are that supply chains are going to be okay for the seeds. So we've got a pretty good chance of getting some good seeds this year.
That's a big plus. However, over the past couple of years, we have seen an increase in demand for these seeds, which means with limited supplies, they could run out quick.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed is any time that you have a pandemic, I can add that to the list, or an economic crisis, or a recession, or a depression, or a downturn, people will start doing more gardens, or at least intending to do more gardens. A lot of times we get bogged down and we don't follow through, but it's very common that we turn to those things when times are stressed and that we start looking at relying more on ourselves.
Not to mention, it's very therapeutic under these stressful times.
Yeah, that's a really big issue for me. And this is one of the reasons why I don't really want to leave the horticulture field, is even though it can be a source of stress for me, doing what I do is better for me than sitting in an office doing whatever an office worker can do. I can do some of that, but if you leave me there for too long, I do not do well. Mentally and emotionally, I start deteriorating. And I don't think I've ever really been quite as bold in saying that, at least not publicly. But I do what I do because I can do it without going crazy.
I think a lot of people feel that same thing. I think that's part of the reason why we're starting to see a resurgence of these things. And I agree with you also that when it's a little stressful, it's nice to have a little something in the backyard growing where you might be able to supplement those expensive, increasing prices at the store shelves.
Yeah, and these are really significant things to do, too. I mean, when the pandemic hit, vegetables actually were one of the few things that fruit and vegetable, fresh produce, was not highly affected. But there's a comfort level. I mean, there's always been a quality issue, but there's a comfort level of being able to say, well, I produced this myself. I can rely at least on me for my tomatoes, my spinach, and my apples. Okay, well, I eat enough apples. It's going to take a long time before I can rely on myself. But those are important things, and they are good for us. And emotionally and physically, even if you have the money to pay somebody to do it for you. And I saw that when I was in the commercial field working for other people, is a lot of people would love to have somebody else do the work for them for the fresh fruit and veggies. But part of it is, a big part of it is going out and doing it yourself, does things for you that are different.
A little sense of satisfaction. And sometimes even if it isn't the most perfect produce, just the satisfaction of saying I grew this, or having the kids say they grew this, means that much more at the table.
Yeah, and I think that we have to be careful when we talk about whether it's perfect or not, because there are a lot of people that only want perfect produce. There's the ugly food movement. I'm sure you've read something about it. I don't know if our listeners have, But the idea is that we don't have to have the best looking fruit that we eat. It doesn't matter if there's a rough spot on an apple that's not shiny and bright, or if there's a potato that's got an odd shape or an odd size, or a weirdly curled lettuce leaf or something. Those things are not going to hurt us. They're not going to affect the flavor, the nutrition, all the important things that we're actually eating the plant for, other than visual. And it's funny because we talk a lot about body shaming and being confident with ourselves and with how we look, even if we don't look the way that's fashionable. But then we still want our food to look fashionable. That's just not why we're eating it, folks.
No, you're right. That's nutrition mostly, and the flavor.
Yeah, it's nutrition, and there's a quality of life that comes in from eating good food. And I have to say, I collected my first Fuji apples this year off my tree, and they were just simply better than what I could buy at the store. They were just better quality. They were sweeter. They were, as far as food goes, superior to anything I've ever bought in a supermarket. And Fuji's not the most sexy apple in the world. They're good and reliable, actually. But it was still better than any Honeycrisp I've ever had. Of course, I'm notorious for not really liking Honeycrisp that much. But again, the quality is just so much better. That alone is a good enough reason to go out and try something a little bit different.
And that's what I think is fun, too, being able to grow something a little different than what you can find on the shelves anyway.
Yeah, and when you talk about, okay, your Swiss chard is still going to taste basically like Swiss chard. That's going to be one area with some of these leafy greens where you may not notice it. But your tomatoes, first of all, it is really hard to get a good quality store-bought tomato. We've talked about that many times, and they've made improvements over the years. But I've been known to go in and buy store-bought tomatoes for my green tomato mincemeat because, well, hey, they're not ripe. They may be red, but they're not ripe. And if you can do that, then you need to really have a serious discussion about what the food quality is. But on the other hand, if you're growing it your own, and gosh, it is just so much better quality. You can't explain to somebody that's never tried it how much better something can be from home, the quality of your growing, and the quality of the choices that you have for flavor is just so superior.
And it's fun. Like you said, different. Some of them could be really different. I mean, tomatoes are really a big deal from our family. I mean, there's so many different colors and flavors and shapes and sizes. I mean, you can have a tomato sandwich every day of the week, and every one of them will be different because of the different varieties out there.
Yes, I agree 100% with that. Until I tried my first Brandywine tomato, I didn't really realize the depth of the difference in what could be had in a tomato. That was so different than a store-bought tomato. Even if you don't end up liking it, even if it's too strong, it's definitely a game changer in what you think about tomatoes, because there can be a huge difference between a commercial variety and what you can grow at home, and just in the variety. And you're not going to get one of these nice heirloom varieties like Brandywine. You're just not going to get it in a store situation. You never will. That's just not the way the world works. And so I think it's highly recommended that people go out and try a few new things every year to see what they find.
I think that's really good advice. Again, don't get too carried away with a bunch of new stuff that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, that's where we go to the Grover 10% rule. And that is, you only do 10% of new stuff. Everything else should be tried and true in your garden.
That'll give you some stability.
Yeah, that is something I've been saying for a long time now. You can get into a lot of trouble by overdoing new stuff. And if you're new to it especially, you want to start small, go with stuff that's reliable, because everything's an experiment those first couple of years. You're not going to know what it is you're doing the first couple of years, so you need to have just good stock, reliable stuff that preferably has a record of working for a lot of people in your area, so you can learn how to do it and how to evaluate how you're doing. Because you're going to have failures. I have failures every year. Some years I have spectacular failures, especially when I'm really busy at work, because sometimes I just don't have the ability after working a hard day in the landscape to go out and to be able to do everything to the quality I want to. And so I have given myself permission to not be perfect in my home garden because I've got a lot on my head for somebody else's garden. But you'll make that even worse if you put in a bunch of stuff that you've never tried before, that you don't have experience with, that you don't have a record of making it work. So 10% new stuff, no more. But do new stuff. There's a balance there.
I think that's really good advice, because even on a normal year, every year's got its challenges, even with stuff that you're familiar with. There's going to be some challenges there. If you change everything up, everything is new, then instead of becoming a very relaxing or thing that will help your stress, it will actually increase your stress.
Yes, exactly. And I've seen that happen with a lot of people before. It's very common. People get excited about the garden and then overdo it. It's like anything else. Moderation is a good thing.
I know you are already getting seed catalogs in the mail. I've got a couple myself, and I've been browsing online already. Looking online, I'm noticing some things are already out of stock, some of the newer things and some of the things that may be a little extra popular have already started disappearing from those shelves. So it's time to start looking hard for what you really want.
Yeah, and this is going to be a struggle here. We've talked about this a lot before, but anytime we have a recession or supply shortages across the board, I mean, whenever we get those movements or those changes in society, we get nervous, we start planting more seed, go back to gardening, plant some fruit trees, and that means also that more people are going to be buying, and all of the growers for seeds are going to be tearing their hair out, trying to figure out how many of what they need, because this stuff had to be done, planted in the spring. So this stuff's 9 months from seed to delivery in a lot of cases, or even more, nearly a year. And so they're making decisions about that more than a year ago. And that's really hard. So coming on early, finding out what's there. I remember very young, I don't see this happen as much now, but in the past, even the recent past, I'd see this all the time, but you'd see things stamped in the catalog, crop failure.
I've seen that a lot over the years.
And what they do is they have a crop failure, and back in the day when we were kids on the printing, they'd literally stick a sticker on their master, and now they'll just use a computer, put in their computerized version, but it'll say crop failure. And the kind of weather we've been having the last couple of years, this is actually really quite likely that we may see some crop failures this year. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm not in the really tight circles of the seed growers. I don't have any really direct access there right now, but this is the time of when we'd expect that after some of the weird weather we've had over the last couple of years. So there's likely to be some shortages. Be aware, be flexible as much as you can, because you're going to have to.
All right, then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. We'll continue our discussion with Mr. Alex Grover with Utah's Best Gardening. When we come back, we'll start talking about seed starting. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
Thank you. Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Start the new year right and set goals for success. We're doing it right for the new year. Next on Western Life Radio.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, a scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Set goals for success in the new year. Curtis G. Marsh brings up the odds of success.
If you set a goal that's not really relevant to who you are and what you want to accomplish, it may be a great goal, but you're not going to get behind it. You're not going to get behind it like you should to make sure that thing happens. So it's easy to take a piece of paper, write down what we want. We can go a step further, which most don't, but it will increase your success if you write down how you're going to accomplish it. But let's talk about going beyond just the list. Going beyond the list, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? It means that as you set these goals, going beyond the list, tying your goals to a bigger picture, what does that mean? Well, you create a plan. You create goals. You create measurable daily, weekly fixed activities in this plan that includes your vision, your values, and your why. What you're aligned with, and we've talked about this many times on the show, our personal alignment with things that we want in our life. If we are not aligned with certain things, we're not going to have great results in our life. And so our goals have to be just as similar. They have to be aligned with our vision, our purpose, our values. We need to create a why in alignment with our purpose, our vision, our values.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, and I'd like to invite you to put a little wild in your life with a unique chance to see wild elk. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. For hours, directions, and ticket prices, visit our website. Come join us on the sleighs. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There's also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors. And at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Alex Grover with us with Utah's Best Gardening. I know coming up, seed starting is going to be a big deal for those that want to start tomatoes or peppers especially. You're going to want to start early to give you enough time to get some growth on those before they get set outside.
Yeah, peppers are one of the worst. They're even worse than tomatoes. Now, my first seed catalog is right here. It's territorial. It came yesterday. These are folks out of Oregon. And so they're a little bit more Western-centric in some of what they do. But I love it because you open a page, and I'm on the page where they start broccoli, for instance. And the first part of the page here, broccoli is a popular veggie, so the smaller veggies, not as good an information. But on these more popular, more common veggies, they've got a section here that's about a sixth of the page, or maybe a fifth of the page, actually, that is talking about starting broccoli. It's got soil temperature, it's got days, how long it's supposed to take it to sprout, how deep you're supposed to plant it, how you're supposed to thin it to, how your plant spacing is supposed to be as they mature, row spacing, germination rates expected, seed life. That's a great one. Seed life. Fertilization needed, and how many seeds are in a measured gram or other weight unit. That's just a little chart in the front, and then it's culture. What do you need to grow broccoli in? What kind of soil? What kind of temperature? Stuff like that. How to plant them. Direct sowing, if you're going to plant them in the seed, this is when you plant. This is our recommendations on fertilizer, which I usually don't follow. Even down to the point of covering with loose soil or sifted compost. I do not know anybody that actually covers their seeds with sifted compost out in the field, but hey, somebody does. Then it's got information on transplanting. It's got information on insects and diseases. Although it does refer you back to the website for that, because that could be quite long. Rotation. This is wonderful. They have a recommendation of 5 to 7 years for a crop rotation with your brassicas, which is your broccoli, your cabbage, stuff like that. And then it tells you a little bit about harvesting and storage, because, hey, you're growing broccoli for the first time. When do you harvest it?
Most people don't know. If they haven't done it before, they don't know when or how to harvest it. So that's really important stuff. And it's all sitting here in the seed catalog, making it really easy for us to find.
It's nice to have that information because I forget from year to year. I try to take notes and try to remember what I've done, but from year to year, I know I forget. Something always falls to the cracks, so it's good to remind myself of temperatures, spacing, and some of the other critical things as far as giving myself enough lead time to ensure things get done on the timely manner.
Yeah. Now, I should mention right here that these are general guidance for a wide part of the U.S. Sometimes there are specifics for, say, a place like Utah that may come into play. We have a really interesting problem here with the weather, and this has been since I was a kid, starting to warm up and things getting all excited about growing, and then we have a freeze. Anybody who's been in this, I hate to say hobby, but we'll say activity of growing veggies or fruit knows that Utah is just infamous for this. I suppose a lot of places in the U.S. are to an extent, but Utah seems to have a particular, our weather just loves toying with us that way. It's something they don't worry about much in England, but we do have to worry about it a lot here. And so you have to keep in mind local growing conditions can vary, and you should plan on some flexibility because we're going to be just a little bit different where we're at, and anywhere is going to be just a little bit different than what most of our guides and catalogs say. In fact, that's actually one thing that's interesting is the recommendation on broccoli was a soil pH of 7 to 6, and if you're in Utah and you have a soil of 7 on the pH, you are in fantastic shape because that does not exist many places where people are in Utah. Most of our populated areas have higher than 7 pH, but that is not a game killer because in reality, most plants have a flexibility beyond the recommended range. Unless you're doing blueberries, in which case, yes, that recommended range is pretty darn solid, and you won't find it in Utah.
As far as starting seeds, I know people are already starting to get their materials together. A couple things to think ahead on, things like heat mats, lighting, and then the seed starting medium.
We're going to start with pots. Now, I see a lot of homeowners go get solo cups or Dixie cups or something like that to put their seeds in. And now this is always interesting to me because you can actually really get professional grade starting stuff really easy and it's not expensive. If you look for your right sources, most of these catalogs will have various kinds of seed trays. If you go down to some of the local nurseries that do, especially some of their own growing, in my area, Cooks, they buy this stuff on an industrial basis, and they'll put them out, and you can buy flats of stuff to start your seeds in. And it's intended to be disposable, but if you use it right, you can use these for a couple of years. And it's going to be a lot cheaper and a lot easier than trying to put anything in a red solo cup because they're just really cheap to make the way they do it. There's a reason seed flats are designed the way they are, and it's because they can do it cheaply.
Keeps them nice and compact, keeps all the varieties together. If you do all one variety in one six-pack, it does make it easier.
Yeah, and it's just so much easier having a flat full of little mini pots than, again, trying to mess around with a bunch of cups. The cups are made for people to drink from. They're designed for that. They're priced for that. Literally, if you find the right place, it's cheaper and easier to just buy a conventional growing flat, conventional growing pots, and put the pots in the flat, voila. It's really easy to carry, take out to the garden if you need to move it. All these things are just easier because these have been designed to be cheap and easy to use. So why reinvent the wheel and go cut holes in your solo cups and spend the time and the effort doing that when automation will do it for you? And it's not like you're saving the world on plastic because you're not. You're still using plastic when you use a drinking cup. You use more plastic. because they're designed to do something different. So keep in mind, if you go buy Jiffy pots with the little expanding thing in it and stuff like that, that gets expensive. But again, I go in this catalog, usually it's towards the back. They have, there we go, we have flats. We have commercial-grade flats here with trays to hold them. We've got kits. We've got cow pots now. I forgot those were a thing. But I can look through here, and I can find similar stuff to what the professionals use. I am not seeing right now anything as cheap as going down to Cook's and buying it. Again, if you're in Utah County and you're near Orem, Cook's is a great place to get this kind of stuff. But again, it's like I remember years and years and years and years ago, there was a presentation done by a lady who had lived through the Depression, and she had talked about reusing dental floss. And I understand that when times are tough, you have to use what you can. But dental floss is cheap, and sometimes it's just better to go out and buy new stuff rather than trying to recycle something that's just not made for it. I'm trying to think of a good example, and of course, I wasn't thinking about this before the program, where I have this great pre-made example, but yeah, try not to make it hard on yourself by trying to make it easy and cheap. Sometimes it's just easier just doing it the way everyone else does it.
Those trays make a difference. We've been using them for years. It's real easy, and everything's consistent, and you don't have to worry about knocking things over. You can just move the whole tray all at one time if you happen to be moving them in and out of the house during that little window when it's nicer outside sometimes. Well, you got a lot more sun, which makes it a lot easier for those plants to really enjoy that and become a little more stocky, I guess is what we're looking for, instead of leggy.
Yeah. Stocky is good for plants, right?
It is. It's what you're looking for.
Leggy is apparently good for humans, supposedly. I would disagree with that. But there seems to be a lot of people who think that leggy is good for humans, at least.
If folks want to connect with you, if they want to follow you, how do they find you?
On Facebook, I hang out at Utah's Best Gardening. It's not the biggest in the state, and I love it because that means I don't have to deal with all the things that the biggest groups deal with. But if you're interested in learning good science, good technique, we always try and answer questions. I don't know everything, especially when it comes to indoor plants, but usually there's somebody there that will know an answer that will be good for you. And I'm on YouTube on Grow How. Just type in Grow How. And I've got around 200 gardening videos. Again, not the biggest thing in the world, but I stick to the science, and that makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm doing some people some good. So if you're interested in that, by all means, come on, see what's out there, and we'll see if we can help you.
Anything else you want to wrap up with?
I like what you said about planning. This is a great year for planning and contemplation. Now, I'm shorthanded at work. There's a lot of difficulty in hiring, and again, I've got a gal out with a concussion. So I'm shorthanded, and I'm not doing a lot of planning. But before the accident, I would take some time once a week or twice a week, and I'm putting together plant lists so that I can make good choices about what I'm planting on the campus instead of just going out and buying whatever happens to be at the nursery at this point. I'm doing my planning ahead of time, and that's going to give me a better perspective on the plants that are available, and I'm using an availability list. This is for perennial plants. It's Perennial Favorites. It's a Utah-based company. They have their catalog. They don't grow everything every year, but this catalog's a pretty good guide as to what I might be able to get this year. And so I'm compiling a list from using these resources for certain areas of the property I'm responsible for. I am planning ahead. This may not be the planning you need to do, but for what I am doing this year, this is the planning I'm doing. This is the time of year to do it. Unless you're out removing snow, this is what most good gardeners, professional gardeners, do. We're planning ahead, figuring out what we can do, figuring out what we need to do, doing designs. After I get done with this list, then I'll start working on designs for the areas. And then as soon as spring hits, I have my list of projects. I know what needs to be done. I've got them prioritized. And then we go and we get it done. to paraphrase or to quote pop culture, this is the way.
Okay. Good stuff.
Glad you've watched that. Otherwise...
Mr. Alex Grover joining us once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us. Happy New Year again.
Hey, thank you. Love you all on gardening land. I hope you have sweet dreams of gardens through this month. And catch y'all later. Manana.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Be safe this winter driving season. Make sure your car is in proper working condition and is stocked with blankets, warm clothing, booster cables, a fire extinguisher, and tools. Also, be sure to include bottled water, high-calorie snacks, a first aid kit, flashlights and batteries, a shovel, and ice scraper. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Mr. Brad Hunt joins us around the campfire with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources in the Hardware Wildlife Management Area. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being with you.
Just a reminder, everyone, folks, the Hardware Ranch is still open. You can view the elk out there on the fields. You have a fantastic visitor experience for those that do arrive.
We do. Like I said, the building's open, so it'll be warm, and there's opportunities to view wildlife, view the elk, and there's some new displays to talk about migration of wildlife and how we track them, and we've even got some stuff in there that highlight, I don't know if you've ever noticed any of the wildlife crossing features that we've employed throughout the state, to A, reduce vehicle-wildlife collisions, and B, help connect habitats that have been separated by highways and travel routes that humans utilize. So some of those are like underpasses where they have large culverts that go under roads, and so wildlife can move from one side to the other without having to cross the highway. or an overpass that goes over the road for the same purpose. And so in, I believe it's Parley's Canyon, near the summit, there is a wildlife overpass. So animals can cross I-80 right there and move from one side to the other.
Been a huge improvement. A lot less deer collisions, a lot less elk collisions. Saves a lot of people, saves a lot of damage on vehicles.
And the cameras that they've got up there to see what's using it, there's been moose and bears and mountain lions and everything uses it. It's pretty cool.
Been a lot of smart innovations over the last couple decades. It's neat to see these things come together. In fact, there are more animals killed on the highways than there are during the hunts. That's an interesting statistic that's stuck in my head for years.
Yeah, it's quite interesting if you look at harvest percentages. They stay roughly the same. If we can reduce wildlife vehicle collisions, that's great for both parties, for wildlife and for us. So,
for folks who have never been to the Hardware Ranch, how do they get there?
If you've never been here, most folks are coming from the south of us. We're up in Cache Valley, south of Logan, so your best bet is to come up I-15 to Brigham City and get off I-15 there in Brigham City and head northeast up over Sardine Canyon on US 8991. When you come out of the canyon in Wellsville, at the first stoplight, there'll be a sign that points you to turn east, turn to the right to go to Hardware Ranch, and just follow the signs. When you get into Hiram, we're about 17 miles east of the McDonald's in Hiram, up the canyon, and the pavement ends at us. So if you're still driving on blacktop, don't worry, you're not lost. There is no cell service, and if you want a map to follow, if you go to wildlife.utah.gov, look up Hardware Wildlife Management Area, there'll be directions online for how to get here. I kind of discourage from using your phone GPS. Depending on the GPS app you use, sometimes we'll get phone calls from folks driving in circles in Hiram because it doesn't know where to put us. And so it'll say, well, it's here, and they'll go to that corner and they'll pull it up and it'll be on the other corner of the block, and they just move around the block looking for us. We're not in Hiram. We're east of Hiram.
By quite a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would encourage you, go to our webpage at wildlife.utah.gov and look us up there, and there'll be directions on there how to get here.
Again, for more information, where do they find more about you?
Check us out at wildlife.utah.gov, and then in the search bar, just put Hardware Wildlife Management Area, or you can call our visitor center. So 435-753-6168.
Anything else we should be sharing with folks out there?
We're open, and it's still a great place to come and have family memories and look forward to sleigh rides.
Mr. Brad Hunt joining us once again with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources in the Hardware Wildlife Management Area. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
And you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Giving doesn't have to end now that the holidays are wrapping up. We're listening to Quinny's Riggin next on Western Life Radio. There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There is also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Always remember the spirit of giving long after the holidays are over. Bran Hill shares some music and the importance to give year round.
You know, Queenie's Rig, and this is a song about a true experience. A buddy of mine lives in my neighborhood, gave his bareback rig and his high school approved bareback rig and to a kid that lived down the street from us that kind of had some tough circumstances growing up, a single parent home, and this kid, all he ever wanted to do is rodeo. His older brother's rodeoed. And so on Christmas Eve, my buddy called me up. He says, would you go down and I want to give Sam my bareback rig? And we went down there on Christmas Eve, and we had this old shoebox that was just kind of like a boot box that would fit this rig in, and we wrapped it up with newspaper and electrical tape, and it was a pretty sorry looking package, but I'll tell you, the excitement on his face when he opened, I think he knew when he saw us that old Quinn was going to give him his bareback rigging, because it was a priceless experience and really helped me understand the true meaning of Christmas.
Young Sammy Lively, barely 17, living on nothing, every cowboy's dream. He was poor as the pinto, shivering out in his stall. Family Christmas without any gifts at all. Light snow falling, last Christmas Eve.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. Friendly drivers, powerful draft horses, comfortable sleighs, and up-close experience with the elk make this one of Utah's great wildlife traditions. Visit our website. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
He's leading the way along the back roads less traveled. Lands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me.
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.